This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's hour number three of Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the sports betting network. We've got an absolutely tremendous hour coming up for you as we're going to be taking a look at what is going to be a great Sunday baseball card. All 30 teams are in action, so we're taking a look there. And Greg's random football roulette continues in 30 minutes as we're going to be taking a look at another team for the upcoming NFL season. Broke down the Seattle Seahawks in hour number two. For one, if you miss any part of that, VSiN.com/podcast, you're able to listen back to that. But I like that Seahawks win total of 8.5 over. You're able to get plus money in a lot of spots to be able to go over. And I think that the Seahawks are in for a pretty darn good year, and I would not sleep on Sam Darnold to have himself a very nice season. So we are looking at that and so much more. So we're diving into the NFL in about 30 or so minutes. But first things first, before we dive in on a little bit of Major League Baseball, I know that a lot of people are sweating this one out. Yeah, the Ilya Topuria versus Charles Oliveira fight. Not often that you see a fight that is slated to go five rounds be having a round prop of 1.5. We saw some money come in on the over. That money was, shall we say, wrong, as Ilya Topuria, with about 2 minutes and change remaining in the first round, just absolutely dismantles Charles Oliveira. Nasty knockout right there. Topuria gets the job done and gets the job done easily. I mean, Oliveira just looked like he had all life from his soul sucked out of him. And then after the fight, Topuria called out Patty Pimblett. So we've got ourselves some good, clean family fun happening in the UFC as Ilya Topuria, if you laid that number with him to be able to get the job done, you got there, and you got there very easily. And a team that is going to be a big, giant favorite that is going to be looking to get the job done in Major League Baseball on Sunday, hopefully you saw what I did there, that would be the Detroit Tigers. They're going to be playing us to the Minnesota Twins. This is 9-17, 9-18 on the card, and one of the more dominant pitchers that we have seen in baseball in quite some time, Mr. Tarik Skubal on the bump for the Tigers, and Chris Paddock is going to be on the bump for Minnesota. Minnesota is a very sizable underdog here. You're able to find them between about a plus 232 to a plus 244, and they neighbor at about minus 280 to a minus 290 is that number on the Tigers. Run line price in most places is a minus 125. Right now, seeing that at a minus 130 here at Circa, but most places you should be able to find a minus 125. I really wasn't willing to go past a minus 125 with that Tigers run line because it should be a relatively low scoring game, but I did lay that minus 125 run line knowing that this was probably going to be bumping up in the AM. And part of the reason why I was willing to go with the run line as well is that I just flat out think that Chris Paddock is going to give up runs. Paddock was on a really nice run where he had given up like 3 earned runs or fewer in 11 out of his previous 12 starts. But I mean, now for Chris Paddock, he has really seen things go sideways on him, and I'm not necessarily overly surprised. His swing and miss stuff has been far from amazing this year. 6.3 strikeouts, 2.5 walks per 9 innings, and I mean, talk about things going sideways. 4-plus runs allowed in each out of his last 3 starts. A grand total of 16 earned runs, 17 in total in his last 3 starts, albeit 2 of those starts came on the road, but that's part of what you need to be looking at as well. As for Chris Paddock, he hasn't necessarily given out a ton of the deep ball, but for the Detroit Tigers, what I think was a lot lost on a lot of people, because we all saw what they were able to do last season with bullpen madness and all that pitching. The offense has just been so much better for them this season. Kerry Carpenter, Riley Green, couple with as well Spencer Torkelson, all give you at least 14 home runs. And these are not solo shots, because you've got a lot of men getting on base for this team. Gleyber Torres north of a 380 on base. You've had Javi Baez be anything but useless this year. Last few years he was very useless, but he's now hitting north of a 270. You've got someone like Zach McKinstry doing a nice job moving the line. And here's a real X factor for this team. Wencel Perez, since coming off the injury list, he's got like 9 home runs in about a month or so. He's been doing a really nice job of getting on base. That elevates the Tigers team moving forward. Now for the Tigers, if you look at the overall bullpen ERA, a little bit above average, but I do believe that this bullpen is a heck of a lot better because they have utilized a few openers for likes of Kadir Montero, Sawyer Gibson, Long, and company. So that drives up the ERA, but the top guys are the top guys. Chase Lee, Brian Herter, Will Vest, Tommy Kamley, all these guys are able to give you a sub-3 ERA. And for the Twins, over the last few months, we have seen this this bullpen go straight down the toilet bowl, as they are, in terms of bullpen ERA since the beginning of the month of May, a bottom 17 in the big leagues. Now, you still have a few guys that you're able to trust in. Louis Varland, Yoan Duran, and the recently coming off the injury list, Andy Kalum, have all been able to give you a sub-3 ERA, but Griffin Jackson has been getting jaxed up all season long. Cole Sands has really went straight down the tubes as well. And for Minnesota, the lineup has been a little bit better recently. Byron Buxton is now up to 17-plus home runs. He's doing a good job, give you about a 350 on base. Trevor Larnach is now giving you 12 home runs. Obviously, the injury to Royce Lewis really hurt this team, but Royce Lewis wasn't even doing anything when he's out there in the lineup. Carlos Correa is starting to find it a bit more, though he's obviously looking a little bit washed. But for the Detroit Tigers, I do think that they do a nice job getting Chris Paddock here. I think that they're able to carry a lot of the water with regards to this total. And with Tarik Skubal, he's coming off of a little bit of a rough start in that start against the A's. He did give up 4 runs there, but team still got the job done for him. And with Skubal, strikeout to walk ratio north of 9.5, as he's getting north of 10 strikeouts per 9 innings, fewer than 1.5 walks per 9 innings, really not allowing the deep ball, sub 230 ERA, sub 215 fielding independent. I like the Tigers to get the job done here on the run line. Wouldn't want to go past a minus 125, but willing to go up to a minus 125 there. And then with regards to this total, I do like it over on 7. Just feel like it's a little bit too low, especially with the way that this Tigers team has been hitting, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And this should be a relatively fun one, as you've had the Texas Rangers be by far your best home under team in all of baseball thus far this season. That's going to be put to the test, as Jack Leiter has not necessarily been so amazing. Luis Castillo has had his issues on the road. 919, 920 on the card. As for the Walker Texas Rangers with Leiter on the bump, they are lightering it up with anywhere between a plus 104 to a plus 108 number. They are the home underdog, and with Seattle, you're going to be finding them in a neighborhood about a minus 118 to a minus 126. I was seeing a few straight 8.5s on the open. This has now gone down to 8, and I would be willing to take a shot on the over. I do think that this Texas Rangers team finally finds a little bit more on offense, as they've had so many guys playing below their baseball cards. As I mean, you look at Marcus Semien, Adolis Garcia, Jake Berger, the currently on the injured list Jock Peterson, all these guys hitting at 235 or lower. Corey Seager was miserable up until this recent series. He's got a home run in back-to-back games. Since coming off the injured list prior to the series, he was hitting below 200. Like, he was just completely lost. I don't know if he figured something out, if he's feeling a little bit healthier, but that's good news for the Texas Rangers. And this is a Rangers bullpen that I think sees a little bit of regression. You've got a lot of guys that have been overperforming a little bit, in my opinion, and when there are better, shall we say, long men in Jacob Lyons, he's now being converted into being a starter. So that does hurt them a little bit, but you still have been able to have these guys like a Robert Garcia, Chris Martin, these guys being able to hold down the fort, give you a sub 350 ERA. And when it comes to Luis Castillo, just a guy that's been posting up an ERA well north of 2 points higher when he is on the road rather than at home. He very much feels at home when he's in Seattle. Has been doing a nice job keeping the ball in the yard, giving up only about a home run per 9 innings, but he's down below 8 strikeouts per 9 innings. That's a career low for him. He's been giving you about 3 walks per 9 innings. Now he's backed up by a bullpen where the top guys are the top guys. Matt Brash, Gabe Spire, Andres Munoz, all being able to supply a sub-3 ERA. Even someone like a Carlos Vargas has been relatively solid in that bullpen as well. Edward Rosario is a little bit of a roll of the dice, but overall, I do think that for Seattle, they just have a little bit more firepower here than Texas. And I'm just not necessarily bullish on Jack Leiter either. He's getting fewer than 7.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's giving up darn near 4 walks per 9 innings. Do I think that this guy has some upside and might be around in the big leagues for a very long time? Yes, former top 5 pick out of Vanderbilt, but I am still 4.55 ERA, fielding independent of a 4.87. He's allowing only about 1.2 home runs per 9 innings, but those 4.4 walks per 9 are very costly, especially when you're going against a Seattle Mariners team that you've got guys that are able to move the line in Julio Rodriguez along with Ori Polanco. Both of these guys, 11 home runs this season, both hitting in that neighborhood about a 250. And then big dumper Kyle Raleigh. As of right now, 32 home runs this season. He is currently on pace to set a new American League record for most home runs in a season. You've been able to have J.P. Crawford move the line, giving you north of a 380 on base. Now, Rowdy Tellez is not hitting for any sort of average whatsoever, but he's been able to give you a double-figure amount of homers as well. So with the Seattle Mariners team, I do think that they go on the road, get the job done here. I was willing to lay up to a minus 136, so I like Seattle on the money line. With regards to the total of 8, I'm going to take it over. Recognize that we have seen only 11 overs in Texas Rangers home games this far this season, but I think that this situation calls for the over, so like the over and that money line as well. What else I like is another game out there in the great state of Texas. The Astros, they play host to the Chicago Cubs, 923, 924 on the card. Framber Valdez goes for the Astros, and Jameson Taillon is on the bump for the Cubs. Cubs do find themselves as underdogs between plus 130, plus 135, neighbor at about minus 145, minus 155 on the Houston Astros. Total 7.5 shaded up to the over. Now, Framber Valdez has been rocking and rolling recently. He has given up 2 runs or fewer in 8 out of his last 9 starts. The lone exception is when he gave up 3 runs. So, he's been great. Sub-3 ERA. He's getting north of 8.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. Does give up about 3 walks per 9, but always induces soft contact. He does have to go up against a Chicago Cubs team, though, that is averaging 5.6 runs per game away from home. Only the Milwaukee Brewers averaging more runs per game away from home. You've got Sei Suzuki along with Pete Crow Armstrong, both supplying 21-plus home runs. And for the Chicago Cubs, even with them hitting so many home runs, they're not solo shots because you've got some like a Nico Horner who's able to give you north of a 280 average. You've had Michael Busch who's giving you double-figure amount of bombs moving the line. But I do like the Astros in this spot because with Jameson Taillon, he's been getting banged around like a pinata. His overall ERA is right around about 455 with 2.1 home runs per 9 innings allowed, but it goes up north of a 5.5 away from home, north of 2.5 home runs allowed per 9 innings. Isak Paredes, the former Cub, he's been able to give you 16 home runs. You've been able to get good average out of Jeremy Pena. He's been able to give you a double-figure amount of bombs as well. I do think that the Astros also have by far the better lineup in general with regards to having some of these guys that you can just mix and match with for the Chicago Cubs. I do think that they're going to be able to get to Framber Valdez a little bit, but I do think that for the Astros, they certainly get to Jameson Taillon. I like that over, and I do like the Astros on the run line. You're able to get north of plus 140 there. And coming up next, how about if we take a look at some more interleague baseball right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down tonight, and we've got ourselves a lot of great baseball to be able to hold it down with as well. We just got done taking a look at the Chicago Cubs, and how about if we make it a little bit of a Chicago special here as the White Sox got it done against the San Francisco Giants on Saturday. We will see if they're going to be able to do so on Sunday, as it is a cannon who's going to be on the bump for them. 927, 928 on the card. The Giants send Justin Verlander to the bump against Jonathan Cannon. And right now for Verlander, right now minus 150, minus 155 or so favorite. In that neighborhood, about a plus 135 to a plus 140 on the Southsiders. And pretty much seeing an 8.5 total across the board. And I'm going to be willing to go under. The Chicago White Sox just have not been able to find too much offense this season. I will say, for the Chicago White Sox, they've actually been a presentable team at home. I'm not going to call them a good team, but a presentable team at home. Because you take a look at what the Chicago White Sox have done away from home, just absolutely awful. I believe that they do have indeed the worst record in all of baseball when they are away from home. They are currently 9-32 away from home. 18-24 at home for the White Sox. They're averaging about 3 runs per game away from home, closer to about 4 runs per game at home. I got one more run to myself on this Saturday, but you know what? You've been able to get a little bit more production of the likes of Andrew Benintendi along with Miguel Vargas. Both of these guys have been able to give you 10 home runs thus far this season. Now, when it comes to these guys that are just not moving the line, not giving you a lot of average, they are pretty rampant. You've got the likes of Austin Slater, Brooks Baldwin, and then I have to mention this guy, Luis Robert. What in the heck has happened to Luis Robert? Continuing it below the Mendoza line of 200, Joshua Palacios, Josh Rojas, all those guys I mentioned, hitting at 225 or lower, really not drawing a lot of walks, really not giving a lot of power. And for Justin Verlander, yeah, it's been a rough season for him. North of a 4.5 ERA. Strikeout numbers are down, fewer than 8 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's seen a rise with regards to his walks, but even if you don't necessarily get the most amazing start of Justin Verlander, you can still get a nice under and you can still have the Giants get the job done. And the reason why is the bullpen. Number one in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. You've got a lot of production out of these guys. Randy Rodriguez, along with Tyler Rogers, throw in there as well Camille Yudaval, who is looking like the Camille Yudaval of old. Eric Miller, these guys have been able to give you a sub-255 ERA. Spencer Bivens, if you need him in a long role, he's been able to be a relatively nice long reliever. And for the Giants, still feels like they're trying to find their bearings on offense with Rafael Devers. Devers has seen his on-base percentage fall just below 400, did have that home run in the Boston series, but has been relatively held in check ever since getting to San Francisco a few weeks ago. It's a little bit difficult for some of these guys at the trade deadline as well, because they're packing up, moving out their entire life. They probably have a few things on their mind in the first few weeks other than just playing ball. So I do think that that's a little bit of an underrated aspect of things. I do fully expect Devers to be able to get back online, but you do have a guy like a Mike Yastrzemski moving the line, giving you north of a 345 on base. It's been a little bit rough for Jung Lee recently, but I still do think that this is a San Francisco Giants lineup, that they do a solid job of getting to a guy in Jonathan Cannon that hasn't really made a start since June 2nd. And for Jonathan Cannon, far from some sort of strikeout artist, in the neighborhood of 7 to 7.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, not really giving up a ton of hard contact, but I mean, it's just one of those sort of milquetoast pitchers. Like, he's not necessarily a guy that you love. He's not necessarily a guy that you hate. And, well, for the standards of the Chicago White Sox, that's pretty rock solid. 466 ERA, more like a 490 fielding independent, getting about 3 walks, 1.6 home runs allowed per 9 innings. Really struggled before going on the injury list, by the way. 4+ runs allowed in each out of his last 3 starts. So we'll see if he's able to get the job done here. And he's not received a whole heck of a lot of, shall we say, support in his last 5 games started, in which have wrapped up in regulation, because he did have a start where he got 5 runs of support, but that was because he got 4 runs in the 10th inning. So in the first 9 innings in each of his last 5 starts, 3 runs or fewer. Do think that you get a little bit of a lower scoring game here. I like the Giants on the run line. Any sort of plus money, I was willing to take a shot there. Right now, seeing that at right around about plus 105 in a lot of spots, so I'm going to be willing to nibble there. And with regards to this total, I'm in on the under. I did set my total at a 8.4, so just below that 8.5. Something else that you want is a boost, an edge boost. They make sure that bettors are able to access their funds anywhere, anytime. There's never any usage fees. It is available for you 24/7 for all gambling-related transactions. And when you go to edgeboost.bet, utilize this promo code of CASH, C-A-S-H. That gets you a dollar-for-dollar match on your first deposit up to $25. That's edgeboost.bet. Promo code CASH. As it is cashing out with myself, Greg Peterson, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We saw Jonathan Cannon get the start here, so he's going to be coming off the injury list. And this is a man that recently came off the injury list as well. Had a relatively good first start. We'll see if he's able to follow it up here on Sunday. This is 903-904 on the card. The New York Metropolitans are on the road against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Mike Burrows is on the bump for the Buccos, and one Frankie Montas is on the bump for the Mets. And the Mets, minus 145 to minus 150 or so favorites. In that neighborhood, about plus 125, plus 130, your number on the Pittsburgh Pirates. The total in a lot of places is a 9.5, and I recognize that the Pittsburgh Pirates offense has been a little bit better in this series. They've gotten to 7+ runs in each of these first 2 games. They entered in this series averaging 3.2 runs per game. Dead last in the National League. You just don't have a lot of power with this team, and that's the issue. O'Neill Cruz, along with Brian Reynolds and Andrew McCutchen, are the only 3 guys on the roster giving north of 4 home runs this year. And Cruz hasn't even been able to hit for a lot of average. Like, he, Alexander Canario, Henry Davis, Jared Trollo, whole bunch of guys hitting at 230 or lower. Brian Hayes has been completely useless this season. Brian Reynolds isn't necessarily giving you a lot of average. Andrew McCutchen has been able to get on base, so we'll give him a little bit of credit. But also with this Pittsburgh Pirates team, the pitching has been solid. Like, for Mike Burrows, overall for the season, a little bit north of a 4.5 ERA. He's been having his issues in terms of the walks issues and the command issues, but I mean, he's still given up 7 runs over his last 5 total appearances after a few rough ones to begin his MLB career. Began the season over at AAA, and one of those was a long relief appearance rather than a start, but in all, he seems to be rounding into form. And Frankie Montas was miserable in his minor league rehab starts. Guy was posting up north of 12 ERA, and then he goes out there against the Atlanta Braves earlier in the week, and he fires 5 scoreless innings, 5 punch-ups, Now, I can't necessarily say that I'm some sort of Frankie Montas stan or something like that, but I do believe that he's going to be able to go out there, give you a relatively presentable start, and then he passes it up to a bullpen that has been in the top 10 in the big leagues in terms of ERA. And because the New York Mets have been blown out in the first two games of the series, that means that all of your trustworthy guys, Reed Garrett, Edwin Diaz, are going to be available. Oscar Brazoben has been really good in long relief, along with Jose Buto. Both of these guys able to give you a sub-3 ERA. Now, they had the Griffin Canning injury happen on Friday, so they did have to deplete the bullpen a little bit there, and obviously did not get what they were hoping for here on this Saturday as well. But I do think that for the Mets, they're going to be able to get back online with regards to their offense. You've got a quartet of different guys with at least 15 home runs this season. Pete Alonso, Juan Soto, with those home runs, have both been able to give you at least a .380 on base. Brandon Nimmo and Francisco Lindor have been pretty solid in terms of hitting north of a .250 as well. Bottom of the lineup with the likes of Brett Batty and company, you could use a little bit more there. Tyrone Taylor is really good with the glove at the plate. He's been a little bit hit or miss, but I mean, what has been a big giant miss has been the Pirates lineup in general with regards to just being able to provide offense. But the bullpen has been solid. Like, this is a top 10 team in terms of bullpen ERA really since the middle of May. You've had David Bednar be able to fly you the sub-3 ERA. The former LA Dodgers in Caleb Ferguson, Danny Santana, they've been able to do a nice job holding down the fort as well. I do look at this spot, and I do think that Mike Burrows gives you a relatively presentable start, but I do think that Frankie Montas is able to go out there, is able to lend a relatively good start as well. If we can get to like a plus 140, I'd be willing to take a shot on the Buccos money line. Right now, I'm seeing more of a plus 135, and if you're looking to lay a run half right now with the Mets, that is currently even money here at Circa. If anything, I'd be looking more towards getting a run half with perhaps a minus 120 with the Pirates. If that continues to move, and I'm right now starting to see that, that would be a play that I'd be willing to fire in on. And I very rarely take a run half with a team, and this is one of those cases where I'd be willing to do so. You just need to get, in my opinion, a little bit more bang for your buck with the Mets, because I do think that this is going to be a little bit of a lower scoring game. So right as of right now, if I had to bet this, I'd be looking at getting a run and a half at a minus 120 with the Pittsburgh Pirates. And with regards to the total, I'm in on that under. I set my total at an 8.3. This is another game that I'm going to be in on the under on, as we're on to Cincinnati. 905-906, the San Diego Padres on the road against the Reds. Nick Lidolo is on the bump for the Reds, and Steven Kolek is on the bump for the Padres. Padres are underdogs of between plus 112 to a plus 118. Neighbor about minus 125 to minus 135 on the Reds. And for Lodolo, he has seen a big dip in regards to his strikeout numbers, fewer than 9 strikeouts per 9 innings, but has also seen a dip in his walks, so about 2 walks per 9 innings. It is a Reds lineup that, while they've been a top 12 team in the big leagues in terms of runs per game, other than Ellie De La Cruz, it's been a little bit hit or miss. Nobody else other than Ellie De La Cruz with north of 10 home runs on the roster. De La Cruz, as we know, he does a great job swiping bags. Now, TJ Friedl along Gavin Lux have been able to give you north of a .360 on base, but it's also a San Diego Padres lineup that has been relatively pedestrian. Trio of guys in Manny Machado, Gavin Sheets, along Fernando Tatis Jr. give you 12-plus home runs. But you've had some issues with the catcher spot. Some of those infielders that they've mixed and matched with have been an issue. Right now I'm seeing at Circa a minus 126 on the Reds. That's my max buy point, but one to buy in there to go along with the under. And coming up next, we have to get you set for the football season. Greg's random NFL roulette is coming up next. We'll see what team we preview on the flip side here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down tonight, and we've been holding it down with a lot of baseball for this Sunday. Want to get you guys some picks, want to get you guys some winners there, but something else that we need to do, get you set for the upcoming football season. Our NFL betting guide is going to be coming out on Tuesday. You're going to get my full projections for the playoffs this season as well in there. I project out all 17s in the AFC and the NFC, and I decided, hey, you know what? I've got a nice run of hosting shows here. It's going to be a lot of fun, and you know what? We want to make it some fun. I wanted to preview all 32 NFL teams, so I'm doing two teams a night for the next 16 nights, and we're calling it Greg's Random Roulette. I've utilized this website, random.org, since I was a freshman in high school, and boy, they are getting some nice run. Like, I need to get like a shirt that says random.org or something like that. They should be sponsoring me for this. You are welcome around at random.org. I don't know if there's any order out there that's listening, but your services are appreciated. And hopefully we can provide you the services of getting set for the upcoming season and find some winners on the futures board. So let's waste no more time. Let's spin the roulette wheel, in this case, random.org, and see what team we're previewing in Greg's Random Roulette.
It's time to spin the wheel and see where it lands. This is Greg's Random Football Roulette.
All right, we go to random.org, we click randomize, and whatever team is up top, we are going to get. Oh, and our producer Rick was saying that he was predicting some team from the South, and Rick gets the cash on this one. We've got the Atlanta Falcons. You want to talk about a mystery box team? You want to talk about a team where it could be the best of times, it could be the worst of times. It is the Atlanta Falcons. Because with the Atlanta Falcons, they're in a division that is quite winnable. Now, I've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers getting the job done in the division. But still, this is an Atlanta Falcons team that is on the come up. A lot of people knocked them for drafting Michael Penix last year. They should be thanking their lucky stars that they did. Captain Kirk was captain of the poo-poo platter of losses. So that was not necessarily so tremendous. Right now, that win total is at 7.5. Odds to make the playoff are a plus 155, and I'm going to say this. If you're looking at the Atlanta Falcons make the playoffs, you might as well just take that plus 250 to be able to win the division. I do not think that you're going to be getting multiple teams out of this division to be able to make the playoffs, even with the expansion to seven teams making it in the postseason in the NFC and the AFC. And I think the biggest thing for the Atlanta Falcons is just how are you going to be able to play these weapons around Michael Penix, because I really like his overall game. He showed himself to be quite solid in his few starts. Like, was he amazing? Did he light the world on fire in terms of the starts? No, but and you look at the offensive output that he put up in the three games that he started. 34 points against the Giants. Giants were just a completely ball of garbage last season, so that doesn't say too much, but I mean, he took the team to overtime against the Commanders. They put up 24 points in that game. The Carolina Panthers, that game went to overtime. He was able to put up 38 points in that game as well. Like, I actually think that the Atlanta Falcons offense is going to be fine. What you get out of this defense is anyone's guess. They do now have Leonard Floyd in the fold, and I do think that Leonard Floyd is going to be able to elevate this team. He, the last few seasons, was just being passed around like a basket of breadsticks with the Rams for a few years, with the Buffalo Bills, with the San Francisco 49ers. I think that he goes out there, elevates his pass rush a little bit with the secondary. They've invested a few resources in there, but I would like to see them invest a little bit more. But the good news is you're not in some sort of division where you've got a bunch of top five quarterbacks or anything like that. So I can get away with that a little bit more. And when you just take a look at this division in general, who is really knocking your socks off right now? For the Carolina Panthers, much better in the second half of the season rather than the first half. And sometimes this is big for some of these drafted quarterbacks. Everyone wants them to be thrown out there day number one. I think the best thing that the Carolina Panthers did was actually benching Bryce Young, letting him take a breather, letting him take a beat, let the Red Rifle take a few hits, let him take a few starts, and then when he was reinserted back in, he looked a little bit better. Now, the New Orleans Saints are a lost cause. At total of 6.5, I can tell you right now, they are not getting to 7 wins. Like, man, I don't know what to say about the New Orleans Saints. Like, you've got Tyler Shuck right now as probably your starting quarterback. Like, man, I think that that team has a lot of value. In terms of this market, fewest wins in the NFL, because I take a look at this Atlanta Falcons schedule and I can pencil them in for 2 wins. They're against the New Orleans Saints. So, I mean, there's 2 right off the bat. That's your free space. And then from there, what happens, happens. They're going to be playing against the Buccaneers. I personally do think that the Buccaneers are the best team in the division. I think that they're going to be hard-pressed to be able to win either of those games, but that week one game at home, a little bit of toss-up. I would prefer it to be in the back half of the season, just because you've got an experienced quarterback in Baker Mayfield that knows how to be able to get the job done and has sort of been there, done that. If they were facing them more in like week 15 at home rather than on the road, I think that that would be a little bit more of a winnable game. So we'll mark down week one as a loss. On the road against the Vikings in Sunday Night Football, a little bit of a rough situation. I'm going to go with a loss there. I think that they split with the Panthers. I think that the Panthers are a team that was able to find a little bit of something towards back half of the year last year. They finally found a competent coach. So I do think that that's going to be a rough one in week 3. That's going to be on the road. That's a loss. So you're starting out currently 0-3. Commanders at home. I recognize that as home. That's a loss. You take your bye. And then the Buffalo Bills on Monday Night Football, albeit it's at home, that's a loss. On the road against the 49ers, looking at a loss. Now you start to get the winnable games, though. They play against the Miami Dolphins at home. There you go. On the road against the New England Patriots. Yeah, that's going to be a toss-up game, but I could see them getting the job done in terms of that game. I gave them a loss against the Buccaneers. I think that this is a team that starts slow, and they pick up steam late. I'm going to give them the win here. So we're up to two against the Colts in Germany. I think that the Colts are going to be a dumpster you-know-what. I am going to give them the win. I think that they're going to travel well there. So we're up to three. Panthers at home. That's a win. That's four. The Saints at home. That's a win. That's five. You play against the Jets on the road. Toss-up game? Fair to say, like, I think that between the Jets on the road and the Seattle Seahawks at home, they win one out of those two games. So we're going to give them credit for six. I don't know which one out of those two they would win, but I think that they get one of them. They play against the Buccaneers on the road. That's a loss. The Arizona Cardinals on the road. That's a loss. And then at home against the Rams, I just don't think that they pull that off against the Rams. That's going to be Monday Night Football, so I will mark that as a loss. And then at the Saints in Week 18, I think that that's a win. I'm landing on 7 wins with this team right now, but I think 7 wins is going to be good enough to be number 2 in the division. Like, if you're looking for those, like, exact division odds, you're able to get plus money on them being that number 2 team. I think that that's where they land. Like, I just don't think that they're on par with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Buccaneers always have a very rock-solid defense under this coaching staff. Baker Mayfield, I actually think, is the best quarterback in the division. But I do think that if you're looking at the quarterback with the most upside in the division, that actually could be Michael Penix. Like, what are we going to be able to see from him in a full season? And with the Atlanta Falcons, again, where I'm really just rubbed the wrong way for the team is on defense. Like, I actually think that this could be a very rock-solid offense. Michael Penix is an explosive player, and I commend the Falcons for taking him last year in the draft. Like, they knew what they wanted. Could they maybe waited a little bit longer? Sure, they could have, but they found a guy that they liked. They're clearly looking to build around him. Here's the question, though. Are you finally going to be able to activate Kyle Pitts? Kyle Pitts was utilized in the old coaching regime as a just sort of decoy. He spent a little bit of time banged up last season as well. So, I mean, what are you going to be able to get out of him? Because you know what you're going to be able to get out of Drake London Bridges. This guy is one of the better wide receivers that you're going to find in all football. Darnell Mooney is a guy that you're able to build around as well. Very rock solid number 2 guy. A guy that's able to blow the top off of a defense. We saw him very nearly get to 1,000 yards last season. So you feel relatively good about that. And this is an offensive line that they've done it right. Jake Matthews is one of the best, shall we say, left tackles, one of the best blindside guys they're going to find in all of football. So I do think that there's going to be good protection for this team. I think that the offense is going to be pretty rock solid. Like, a lot of people are thinking that with regards to this Atlanta Falcons team, the issue was going to be with Michael Penix. I don't think that the issue is Michael Penix. Like, I think that Michael Penix is going to be a quarterback on the rise. Can I put him in the top half of quarterbacks right now? No. But when you take a look at the other quarterback situations in this division, I mean, it's a whole lot better than the New Orleans Saints. Like, that's not saying much. The Saints are 32 out of 32, in my opinion, in terms of their quarterback sort of room. And then you've got the Carolina Panthers, which, again, we saw Bryce Young look a little bit better last year. Could he be able to ascend a little bit more? Sure, he can. But at the same time, I would put the Atlanta Falcons as being a little bit more secure in that spot as well. And then, obviously, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know what you're going to be able to get out of Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield is a steady Eddie guy who, by the way, Baker Mayfield threw for 4,500 yards. He is the Rodney Dangerfield of NFL quarterbacks right now. He gets no respect. He gets his teams to the playoffs. He puts up good numbers. He does have his interception issues, so there's that aspect of things. But I do think that just because the defense for the Atlanta Falcons, it's a big giant question mark. Again, they did a nice job being able to bring in a few guys in the offseason like Floyd to be able to help out that front seven, but I think that this team is going to need to win a lot of games where they score 28-plus points. I think that they're going to score plenty of points in this just sort of ordeal. But I mean, at the same time, too, I do think that for the Falcons, going to be limited a little bit by that defense. If I had to bet the season win total right now, I'd be looking at the under of 7.5. You're able to get plus money on that. I just think that they land on 7. And I do think that this is a division that is going to be very underwhelming in general. And I do think that the Falcons, they finish number 2 out there in the NFC South. And coming up next, I'm going to give you guys what I'm all betting on a jam-packed slate on this MLB Sunday. All 30 teams are in action. We'll break it down next on Cashing Out. I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We just sit in the last segment, an NFL preview right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And it's a friendly reminder that the NFL betting guide here at VSiN, it is coming out Tuesday, July 1st. You're going to get all my projections in terms of the NFL playoffs. I project all seven teams in the NFC and the AFC. And if you're really serious about getting a winning edge this NFL season, you want to get in on this guide. You get so many great futures plays from all of our VSiN show hosts, along with all of our analysts here at the network. You get in-depth previews on all 32 teams, season win total breakdowns, best bets from all of us here at the network. Kick off your season with confidence. Get in on our VSiN Early Bird Special. You get everything that we do across every single sport here at the network for just $175 all the way through the Super Bowl. That's your guide to being a bet smarter this NFL season over at VSIN.com/subscribe, as it is Cashing Out with myself, Greg Oops-Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. This is the final segment of the night for myself, so if you're listening live to VSiN and Cashing Out, you're going to get a replay of this fine program. Meanwhile, if you're listening to the replay coming up at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern, 7 o'clock a.m. Pacific, the weekend morning line, Tim Murray and company always do an amazing job there. And then Ready, Set, Bet, Matt Brown, Mike Somich, they do a tremendous job. I'll be back with you guys tomorrow as well. Don't you worry. I'll be giving you guys some more NFL random roulette. We're going to be breaking down some more baseball, and we're going to have ourselves a lot of fun. But my task is now clear, to be able to get you guys to that great weekend lineup, the Sunday lineup, very safely, hopefully with a little bit more money in pocket, and break down these NFL games. We've broken down much of the card, and anything that I might have missed, you can catch the Baseball Betting Show podcast. That is the podcast I do here with VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and every single game, every single day, it is broken down with my side and total for every single one of them. We recap the previous day's games, so was not able to do the Angels preview because I was here at the desk when that was happening, but we always give you guys a lot of in-depth information on that podcast, so anything that I miss here on this show, we've got you guys covered there. But we do have you guys covered with this game out there in the lovely state of Wisconsin. 907-908 on the card. The Colorado Rockies are on the road against the Milwaukee Brewers. Old Jed Patrick is on the bump for the Brewers, and Urban Marquez goes for the Rockies. Rockies are a Rocky-sized underdog, between plus 220 to, I'm seeing as high as a plus 225 out there, and then neighborhood about minus 250, minus 260 is that number on the Brew Crew. That run line is really starting to hike up. I'm still seeing some minus 125, minus 130 out there, but a lot of places have this now more around about a minus 135. Wouldn't want to go past a minus 135 with this Brewers run line. I would still be willing to lay it, though. I wrote this up for my VSiN article that is currently up right now. Went 4-4 on the day on Saturday. It was really denied. I had the Guardians on the money line. They blow a 5-run lead. Had the Diamondbacks on the run line. They blew a 4-run lead. So we're going to look to do better on these plays for Sunday. But that's it. Chad Patrick, overall, it's a 3.75 ERA. He's been having a little bit of a rough go of it, as he's given up 3-plus runs in 3 out of his last 4 starts, but he's still doing a nice job keeping things out in front of him. He gets about 8 strikeouts per 9 innings, a little bit under 3 walks per 9, a little bit under 1.2 home runs per 9 innings as well. And Urban Marquez should be doing, for a little bit of positivity, that ERA is north of a 5.5, but the fielding dependent is more in the 4 range because he's not really giving up home runs, less than home run allowed per 9 innings. Now he's just getting banged around like a pinata. Three walks per 9 innings, not getting a lot of swings and misses, 6.5 strikeouts per 9, and 11.9 hits per 9 innings. And I do think that the Brewers are doing for a little bit of positivity with regards to their offense at home, as it's a bunch this year that's averaging north of 5.6 runs per game away from home. Number one in all of baseball. At home, closer to 3.9 to 4 runs per game. Bottom half of the big leagues in terms of baseball. Now, they're not necessarily too much of a home run hitting team, though Christian Yelich has now been able to give you 15 home runs. Jackson Chourio, though he's on base percentage, is not great. He's been able to give you 12-plus bombs as well. Rhys Hoskins up to a double-figure amount of homers, but I mean, just a poo-poo platter of different guys. Give you between about a 340 to a 360 on base. Rhys Hoskins, along Sal Frelick, Bryce Turang, able to throw in there William Contreras, Christian Yelich. So you're able to go down the line, and you've got a quartet of different guys in Frelick, Yelich, Jackson Chourio, throw in there as well, Bryce Turang. They've all been able to give you a double-figure amount of stolen bases, and for the Rockies, even though the offense has been much better on the road recently. Still dead last in the big leagues in terms of road on base percentage. They had one more hit than myself against the Milwaukee Brewers, and a Quinn Pricer start on Saturday. That's not great. Hunter Goodman has been rock solid in terms of giving you power on the road. 10 plus home runs on the road. That's actually one of the better marks out there in all of baseball. You've had Jordan Beck be able to find a way on, but Ryan McMahon's below the Mendoza line of 200 when he's on the road. You've had Orlando Arcia along with Therio Estrada give you a bit of a boost, but even Orlando Arcia has not been able to hit well on the road. And one of the saving graces for this Rockies team has been their bullpen. Guys like Jake Bird, Jimmy Harrigan, Victor Vodnik have been able to give you a sub-4 ERA. And then for the Brewers, it's been a case where this bullpen has been up, down, all around. Yolpai, Elvis Figueroa were two guys that they were banking on towards the beginning part of the season. Currently giving absolutely nothing whatsoever. So that's been rough to say the least. They had to send those guys to the minors and DFA them. So that's not what you like to see. But Abner Uribe, along with Nick Mears, Trevor McGill, giving you a sub-325 ERA, has been solid. Rob Zanofsky, hopefully I said that last name correct, he's been able to do a rock-solid job as well. So with the Brewers, I do think that you get a good start out of Chad Patrick. Think that you're doing for a little bit of positivity with Irma Marquez. But right now, seeing this total in most places at an 8.5, I like the under. And I do like the Brewers on the run line. And we've got to get you guys some great bets that I'm liking for this slate on Sunday. And all of our best bets here at VSiN, they are powered by GBank. GBank, it is the official bank of VSiN, and they're introducing the VSiN GBank trifecta, because that's where VSiN, GBank, and First Bet, they all come together. All you need to do, open up a GBank Visa Signature card. In your first 90 days, when you open up the card, deposit and play through $1,000 over at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and then VSiN completes that trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st. That's a $200 value. That's a $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head on over to VSiN.com/GBank. That is GVSIN.com/GBank. And this is a one-time promotion that is limited to customers opening up an account in response to this offer. This will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions, they do indeed apply. Now let's take a look at what we've got in terms of a really good card on this baseball Sunday. Like, I am very much jonesing for this one. Now, we don't know who the starting pitcher is going to be for the LA Dodgers, so there are quite a few places that have this off the board, but the few books that do have it up, it is Chris with a K, Bubich, going for the Royals, and to be determined for the Dodgers. For the Dodgers, it's going to be Justin Wrubelski, who's going to be the bulk guy. When he has come out of the bullpen, he has posted up through 18 and a third innings, just 4 runs allowed. Has been completely different when he's been coming out of the bullpen rather than as a starter. And right now for the Royals, -115 on the money line, -105 for the Dodgers in terms of places that have this up. But I like the Dodgers on the money line in this case, because for the Royals, recognize that they had a nice little bit of an outburst here on Saturday with being able to put up 9 runs. This is still an offense that's scoring fewer than 3 runs per game at home. And should they be doing for a little bit of positivity? Yes, but at the same time, too, you just don't have a lot of, shall we say, veteran bats to be able to help calm down the young guys. Vinny Pascantino, Bobby Witt Jr., 10-plus home runs apiece, and they do have to face the Death Star lineup of the Dodgers, #1 in the big leagues in terms of runs per game. Andy Paz, Teoscar Hernandez, 30 home runs between the two of them. Shohei Ohtani continues to be amazing, 28-plus home runs, or with a .375 on base, but I do think that in the end, Dodgers get a relatively good appearance. I'm not going to call it a start, an appearance from Wrubelski to be able to get the money line covered and to be able to go under as well. This one, I think, is a very fascinating one. It's the early game, Cardinals and the Cleveland Guardians. Right now, Logan Allen and the Guardians about +105, +110 on the money line against a Cardinals bunch. That's about -120 or so with Matthew Liberatore going. I like Matthew Liberatore. He's posting up about a .396 ERA, but closer to .98 fielding dependent. Less than 1.5 walks allowed per 9 innings, 0.7 home runs allowed per 9. Going against the Cleveland Guardians lineup, that is a little bit top heavy, but does feel like Logan Allen might be coming into form. 4.25 ERA, feeling dependent, right on par with that. Does need to work on the 4 walks per 9 innings, but for the Cleveland Guardians, I do think that saving more of their trustworthy relievers, Cade Smith, along with Hunter Gaddis, who will be able to give you a sub-350 ERA, I do think that they're going to be able to do just enough in this early Roku game to be able to get the job done. I like this 8.5 under. I think that both starting pitchers give you a relatively good appearance, and I do like that money line of the Cleveland Guardians as well. And then this one I think is a fun one between the Rays and the Baltimore Orioles. Dean Kramer against Taj Joncal, Milton Bradley, 9.5 to 10 is the total. I recognize that both of these first two games of the series flew way over the total. I like Taj Bradley on the road, though. On the road, he's giving up 0.75 home runs per 9 innings. He's been able to give you a sub-3.50 ERA. And Dean Kramer, sub-3 ERA when he's been at home. For this Baltimore Orioles team, currently a bottom 10 team in the big leagues in terms of runs per game. And the Tampa Bay Rays, all of a sudden, nice offensive outburst. Top 10 team in the big leagues in terms of runs per game. Give me the Rays on the money line and give me the under. And give me a great slate for this Sunday. The weekend morning line comes your way 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern, 7 o'clock a.m. Pacific with Tim Murray and company. Ready, set, bet. Matt Brown, Mike Somich, 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern, 10 o'clock a.m. Pacific. And then Live Bet Sunday comes your way starting at 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern. It's a jam-packed day right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.